Good day to you. It's my pleasure to have this opportunity to speak to you because I'm concerned about the souls of men. I'm concerned about those that are dying without God and going to the devil's hell. It seems such a shame that people turn their backs on Jesus and die without the Lord and lift up their feeble cries in the devil's hell, when they could have peace with God by way of the Lord Jesus Christ in a home in heaven, where they could live with God and His Son forever and ever in a perfect habitation, a perfect place where everything is just right. I hope that God will bless you greatly today. I hope that this will be a good day for you. I would like to talk to you today about the suffering of Jesus. The last program that I produced, I talked about Jesus as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And it pointed out all of those lambs, the many, many lambs that were sacrificed and died as sacrifices. But Jesus is the only sacrifice that could take away sin, and He is called the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God because He died as those lambs for you and I. They portray the Lord Jesus Christ and Him coming. I'd like to read some scripture from chapter 3 of 1 Peter. Beginning with verse 17, I'd like to read verse 17 and 18. Peter says, "For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Sometimes there are good God-fearing people that suffer in the flesh for doing good. But it is better that we suffer in well-doing, the Apostle Peter says, than we suffer at the hands of God for evil-doing. You know, for then, and with this in mind, he says, "For Christ had also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust." Jesus was just. He's without sin. But He suffered for those that have sin, for you and I, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. He suffered that He might bring us to God, been put to death in the flesh. But friends, He wasn't just put to death. He's quickened by the Spirit, and He arose the third day. He's at the Father's right hand, and He is there to intercede as our great and high priest for us. He was our sacrifice. He is our advocate with the Father. He's like a lawyer there to intercede for us when we come to God by way of Jesus Christ. He intercedes, and we can have peace with God because He suffered and died at Calvary. I want to talk to you about the suffering of Jesus. You see, Peter said, "Christ also has once suffered for sins." He has suffered. He has suffered for our sins, for your sins and mine. And I'd like to point that out. Jesus knew before He came to the world that He would have to suffer for sin. He knew before He came to the world that He would have to die at Calvary's cross in order to forgive men of sin, that we could be set free. He would become our sacrifice that we could go free. Jesus knew this before the foundation of the world. The plan was made. And when He entered the world, when He was born of the Virgin Mary and come into this world, He knew when He came this way that He would suffer a lot of things. And He knew that He would die at Calvary's cross for you and I. But friend, out of just the goodness, the grace, and the love of God and His Son, He came to this world to bleed and die. And the Scripture says, the Apostle Paul said, He humbled Himself even to the death on the cross. It is said that He tasted death for every man. Jesus suffered long before Calvary. He suffered at the hands of men. You know, they despised Him, and they rejected Him. They were jealous of him. The religious leaders were jealous because he gathered the great crowds and people were following him. The day when he walked up on this earth, when he was in the world, when he was involved in his personal ministry, they hated him. You know, they hated him when he was born. When he was born of a virgin and he was out there lying in a manger in Bethlehem, Herod sent out his soldiers to take the life of all from 2 years under in order to take the life of Jesus and him just a baby because he hated him too, because he was afraid he would take his throne and he would have nothing to do with him, but he would do away with him. But Jesus was spared. He didn't die then. You see, God does things in his own time. Jesus would have to live and become a man, live a spotless life, preach his own gospel, then die for us at Calvary. So God prepared a way that Jesus could be taken by Moses and by Joseph and Mary down into Egypt, where he would be spared, and he stayed down there until Herod died, and then he came back, and he lived up there in Galilee as a carpenter's son and became a carpenter. But about the age of 30, Mark tells us about the age of 30, he came down to be baptized by John. He was then tempted by the devil, you know, carried out into the wilderness. There he went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the devil came into him at a weak point, and that's the way that he does all of us. But Jesus suffered temptation of all of us, but he didn't give in. You and I are tempted, and we give in, and we transgress. But Jesus was above that. He's God's Son. He was righteous, and he did not fail God, but was perfect in all of his life. He was perfect. God spoke out from heaven 3 times, so this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But they saw Jesus' life many times, but they could not take it. There would come a time, however, when God... time come when Jesus was ready. God would give his Son at Calvary. So the time finally came. But during his personal ministry, they tried to take Jesus' life. They sought after him to take his life, but he would slip out of the crowds and depart, and they couldn't get him. You see, it wasn't time. But when time come, you know, Paul said, when the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. When the fullness of time was come for Jesus to die, God gave his Son as he had promised. He had promised that that would be the case, that he would come, that he would suffer, and that he would bleed and die. Jesus came into Jerusalem, preparing and getting ready for this purpose. He knew that he was going to have to die. But he made a triumphal entry. His triumphal entry in Jerusalem, Matthew 21. As he came into Jerusalem, there were multitudes. Many of them had been saved by his grace. They had been healed by all kinds of sins. Even some raised from the dead, and they were following him. They were praising him and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." As he made his way in, they said, "Who is this?" And friend, I'm glad I know who Jesus is. Do you know him? He is the one that suffered for me. He's the one that suffered for you. He is God's Son, the one that God sent into the world, born of the Virgin Mary, that he could suffer, bleed, and die in your case and in mine, for you and for me. We're sinners. We're transgressors by nature, and so we transgress, and we can only have forgiveness by way of Calvary's cross and the blood of Jesus, the stain from that old cross. My friend, Jesus suffered. He came into Jerusalem and people praising him, and the priests and the religious leaders, they envied him because he had a great following. They envied him. They were jealous of him. And so they sought out how they could take the life of Jesus. Jesus instituted the communion the night that he was observing the Passover with his disciples, and he instituted the communion service, the Lord's Supper, and then they went out into the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that soon Judas would return, who had been sent, and the devil put in his heart to betray the Lord, and so Judas, one that had walked with him but was never saved, Jesus said he was a devil from the beginning, but Jesus had him with him that he might be betrayed from within, that he might offer himself as a sacrifice. And so Judas sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. He came into the garden where Jesus has been praying. Jesus has been praying, and he prayed, "Father, if it be thy will, take this cup from me." And the scripture says he prayed, there were great drops of sweat upon his brow, like great drops of blood. Friend, he was suffering, and he was already suffering and hoarding mind because he knew what he had to do tomorrow. So Jesus was dreading death because, my friend, he is a man. He is God-man. He is both man and God. And the man side of him was dreading dying. You and I dread dying. And Jesus was dead and dreading the suffering. The suffering would be awful, and he was dreading that. And he was dreading dying at Calvary's cross. But he had it to do, and he would say each time he prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And so, friend, Jesus was dreading down there, but he was still willing to give his life for you and me. He'd lived here for 33 and a half years, and now it was time for him to die, and he was ready and willing to do so. Judas came there in the garden leading the priest's servants, and they came with swords and staves, like Jesus was a common criminal. But he had done nothing but good, had never done anything but good, always doing good. The Luke says in the book of Acts that he went about doing good. That's what Jesus said he did. He went about doing good, and the best thing that he did was he went to Calvary and redeemed you and I, paid the sin debt. So he was willing to go all the way. But they came after him, and they took him before the priest's father-in-law, and then they took him on to the priest. And before this high priest, his servants made fun of him. They made fun of him. They spit upon him. These people hated Jesus because he was taking away from them the prestige that they wanted. They wanted to be looked up to as special people and men of God. And today we have people like that. But look, Jesus was willing to suffer death, and he had done good, and people were following him. And he's done good by me, and so I try to follow Jesus. Friend, the Lord will do good for you, and he has already died at Calvary that you could have life and have life everlasting. But Jesus was suffering in spirit there when Judas came. Judas came and betrayed him with a kiss. And the priest's servants carried him before the priest, the high priest, and there they were just treating Jesus awful. They spit upon him, as I've already said. They would smack him with an open hand and say, "If you be the Son of God, prophesy who it is that smote you." But the scripture said they buffeted Jesus. The word buffeted means they took their fists. They actually, with their fists, they took their fists and they beat Jesus up. These were supposed to be the best men. They were supposed to be the religious leaders, but these were wicked men, and they were doing a wicked thing. They were persecuting the very Savior that was dying for them. My friend, we don't need to persecute Jesus. We need to be lifting him up to a lost and dying world. If you haven't been saved, you need to come to him and be born again, to be free from sin and have a home in heaven. And it's only because that Jesus suffered for you that you can be free from sin. Remember our scripture? Christ also has once suffered for sin. He suffered for your sin and mine, that we could be free, that we could go free. The priests and his servants treated Jesus terribly. And after all of this, when he was beaten up, made fun of and spit upon, they carried him before Pilate, and he went before Herod, and these two men couldn't find any fault in Jesus. They couldn't find any fault in him. They questioned him. Jesus wouldn't defend himself. You know, Isaiah prophesied that he would go like a lamb dumb before the shearers. That is, he didn't cry out. He didn't plead for mercy. He didn't try to defend himself, but he was willing to go and bleed and die for you and I. He was willing before the foundation of the world. He was willing when he took up on himself the form of flesh. He's willing now to bleed and die. He was dreading that, but he was willing to do it for you and I. And so before Herod and before Pilate, he was there, and they questioned him, but they could not find any fault in him. Because, my friend, there was no fault in Jesus. He was Lamb, the Lamb of God, without spot and blemish. He had no sin, and so he could die for your sins and mine. And they found no fault in him. These two leaders found no fault in him. But it was a custom that they release one prisoner each year. And there was a robber and a murderer named Barabbas. And Pilate thought that I'll just release this man to these people and they'll let this Jesus go, for he's not guilty of anything. And he said, "Would you have me to loose Barabbas?" And they said, no. Or release Jesus. No, crucify him, but at least release Barabbas unto us. Turn him loose, let him go, but crucify Jesus. The great mobs were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate saying, "I find no fault in him." And so he had them to bring out a pan of water, and he said, "I'll just wash my hands of this whole thing, and this whole thing be upon you and your children. Not upon me, but upon you and your children." And so he, before this great crowd that were yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," he washed his sins and said, "I'm free of this whole thing." But friend, he wasn't free. You see, Jesus was scourged. Pilate had him scourged. The soldiers took him out and they scourged him. Scourging is a terrible thing. Had it lasted as long, it had been more suffering, I think, than Calvary. A scourge was a whip, a handle, maybe 2.5 feet long, and had straps of leather about that long, and in the ends of this leather was tied metal and bones. And when they whipped Jesus, it took out flesh and he left him bleeding. And remember, Jesus was already beaten up, severely beaten by the priest's servants, and now he is scourged, and this brought Jesus to a low state. He was taken into a great hall by the soldiers, and there they stripped of him as his clothing, and they put on him a purple robe, and they put a crown of thorns up on his head, and they would make fun of Jesus. They would get on their knees, and they'd say, King of the Jews, call him the King of the Jews. And friend, he is those that are circumcised at heart, not the fleshly Jew, but the one that is circumcised at heart. Abraham's seed are not the ones in the flesh, but those that really believe as he did. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the people that are born again. These are the true children of God. And so Jesus was suffering, friend. I want you to get that idea. Jesus was suffering. He was suffering for you and I. He tasted death, and he suffered a long time before they ever took his life at Calvary. He suffered greatly. These soldiers were making fun of him. They too spit upon him. They hit him and smote him with a reed. And after all of their making fun of Jesus and persecuting him, they stripped the robe and the thorns from him and put his clothes back on, and they led him out to Calvary. Some say that he carried his cross, but that's not the case. Jesus wasn't able to carry his cross. He had suffered such that he couldn't carry his cross. But they summoned a man named Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross up Calvary's hill. So Simon carried the cross up Calvary's hill, but it wasn't Simon, my friend, that was nailed to the cross. Jesus was nailed to the cross at Calvary. There he was nailed to that old cross. There, my friend, he hung on that cross. He was suffering for you and I. He was suffering death. Can you imagine as those nails were driven in his hands and his feet, how that must have tormented, how that must have been painful? When they raised that cross up, if they did it that way, I suppose they did, and it slid into the whole great weight of his body upon those nails. What awful pain that would have been. But it grew worse and worse and worse as he hung there all those hours. As he hung there, the longer that he hung, the worse the suffering was and the harder it was for him to get his breath. He was really and terribly suffering that you and I could have life and have life everlasting. Don't you forget that what Peter said. He has also, Peter said, Christ has also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Jesus was just, and he suffered for us that are unjust. You and I are unjust because we are sinners. We have Adam's nature, and we transgress. The Apostle John said, if we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We are all transgressors, and we all do things that are not pleasing to God. So we are sinners by nature, and we are sinners in action. And Jesus came to save us because we're such and could not save ourselves in any way, any form, or any fashion. We couldn't save ourselves, but Jesus was suffering. He was bleeding, and he was dying. He hung there on Calvary's cross, and as he hung there, the great mobs passed by. They were making fun of Jesus. Oh, they were making fun of him. Oh, but he was dying for them. How could it be? How could it be? You know, Jesus hanging there suffering, and they gambled for his garments below. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They didn't know, they didn't believe in Jesus. It was ignorance on their part, but there's lots of ignorant people that are going to a devil's hell because they won't listen, they won't get the gospel message so they can understand it and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Friend, Jesus suffered for you. He was suffering for those people that were bleeding and dying. He was suffering for those people in the mobs that were making fun of him, mocking him, saying, if you be the Son of God, get yourself down from there. They were saying everything to Jesus. They were making fun of him. The two old thieves, one on each side of him, were crucified when he was, and they were mocking him and railing up on him. But somehow along the way, as one of them heard and one of them saw the things that was happening to Jesus, they saw and he believed that Jesus was innocent. Then he turned up on his friend, the old thief, that was still railing on the other side, and he said, have you no fear. Say, we're justly receiving this. We're justly dying. And so they were. They were justly dying. But Jesus wasn't justly dying. He was dying at the hands of wicked men, and he was giving his life. They weren't taking it. He was giving it. He said he could have called more than 12 legions of angels. But friend, one angel could have come and could have taken him from that mob, struck the Roman army down and the Jewish leaders down, and took Jesus from the cross and took him out of there. But Jesus had to suffer and bleed and die in order for us to be saved. And because he loved you and because he loved me, he hung there with all of this ridicule, with all of this things going on, all of these people that hated him, even though he was dying for them, mocking him and making fun of him. He hung there when he could have come down. Yes, he could have come down. He told Peter when he cut off that man's ear, I could have called more than 12 legions of angels. Told Pilate that he could call more than 12 legions of angels. Now that he's suffering, he could still call them. And God the Father could have sent them without him calling, but Jesus had to do this. He had to suffer and bleed and die for your sins and mine because we could not save ourselves. It took the blood of Jesus. It took his suffering at Calvary's cross. So Jesus hung there. And while he hung there and all of these things was going on, the sun went black and it refused to shine for 3 hours. That day, it was just darkness everywhere. There was an old centurion stood off and said, surely this is the Son of God. And when Jesus came to the point of death, when he come down to that point to die, to breathe his last breath, the fleshly side of him cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But God had forsaken him. God has letting him die because he loved the world. God truly was giving his only begotten Son that you could have life and you could have life everlasting, and that I could have life and that I could have life everlasting. John, the Apostle John, said his blood is propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus shed enough blood that day that it cost him his life, and his life pays the sin debt for you and for me. Life for life, we can have everlasting life. Scripture after scripture after scripture tells us about that. Jesus bled and died at Calvary. John 3:16, Jesus said to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what was happening through all of this, through all of the suffering that Jesus was undergoing. He could have called those legions of angels. God could have taken him out of there without him calling, but still, neither moved. Jesus didn't defend himself. God didn't defend him, but he went humbly and submissive, like a lamb dumb before the shearers, Isaiah said. So remind you that he was willing to bleed and die for us. He was willing while he was suffering so great. He was willing to go all the way, still willing. And he was willing, and he did die for you and I that day. And when he died, down at the temple, the veil before the temple to the holiest and holies of holies, it rent. The Son of God had died, and now Jesus had truly, his spirit had taken a flight and gone in, sure enough, to the holiest of holies, to the place called heaven. And a few days later, 3 days later, he would be raised from the dead. He would walk with his disciples. He would teach them. He could commission his church. And he'd send it into all the world that we could hear about the suffering of Jesus. You see, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't manufacture faith. You can't buy it. You can't read it. You can't steal it. But it comes by the preached Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Holy Spirit makes the Word real that you can believe it. And when you really believe this Word, really believe this Gospel, then that will enable you to believe that Jesus will save your soul. You can go to Him humbly, with a repentant heart, sorrow for sin, call on His precious name and trust Him. And friend, you can go freely, and you won't have to suffer in that awful place called hell. There are multitudes suffering in the depths of hell because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The worst sin that anybody can commit is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sin, my friend, will allow you to go to a devil's hell. All the other sins here, all the lies that you've told and fornicators and all other things, Jesus can forgive sin. He can cleanse you from sin. But friend, you can't be cleansed as long as you reject Jesus. Jesus suffered, bled, and died for you that you could go free. If you reject Him, you'll lift up your feeble cries in the devil's hell. I beg of you to believe on the Lord's suffering. Believe that He bled for you and He died for you. Believe this and call on Him and trust Him to save you, and He will save you. May God bless you is my prayer.